love the silent hours of the night. That's when my thoughts come to life. Those are the late night conversations I don't mind losing sleep over. Join me on the late nights with Just Tammy.
It's another episode of The Late Nights with Just Dami. You already know what time it is. And today, I will be chatting with my Ghanaian sister all the way from Dallas, Texas. Her name is Anarich Asiedu. She's an author of the upcoming book titled Decoding the In-Law Code. Also being in management, overseeing corporate relationships for over a decade now. Hi, Anarich, how are you doing?
Hi, Abby. Thank you so much for that introduction.
My pleasure.
How are you?
I'm doing great, What about you?
I'm awesome. I'm doing awesome.
That's amazing. Yeah. So we're diving into the questions, okay? So your book is a manual for singles, intending and married couples. So please tell me the first time you realized that you wanted to write your book.
Sure, Dami. That's a great one, actually.
Yeah.
I started this maybe like 5 years ago. Because I realized, and it's not just me, but even you, Demi, and just all of our listeners right now, a lot of us really just, we grew up and we just observe people's relationship with their in-laws. So we see how that relationship plays out in movies. We see it with our parents. Like for me, for instance, my grandparents, my grandmom, she had a really bad relationship with her in-laws, right? And then I see it also manifesting my mother's own life. And then I get married and it's kind of like you're almost expecting
the cycle.
The same thing to happen. Yes, it's just, it's like a generational thing, right?
Yeah.
And that means that hopefully when my kids also grow up, they'll have terrible in-laws, but it shouldn't be so. That cycle has to end. It's about time that whole negative in-law stereotypical relationships, it just has to end. And so 5 years ago, I embarked on this journey. And honestly, I did bits and pieces of it. And then just this year, you know, the corona has been, it's been a bad thing, but it's also been a blessing it's giving me some. Because now I had a bit more time on my hands, you know, so I was able to really finish the book. And so it's something I started even before I had kids, like 5 years ago. But it's, it's
just, well, you finished up this year.
Actually completed it. Yes, I finished it up this year.
Thank God for Corona.
I know, right?
I was reading, So chapter one encourages readers to identify their unique in-law situations. And at what point does one realize there is a problem?
Well, I think sometimes even before you get married, there could be a problem, you know, because before you get married, your parents may not agree to the marriage. And that's usually happens. Yeah. Most people that I've spoken to, interviewed, spoken to, observed, have that problem where even before the marriage, there's that in-law tension because they're not agreeing to the marriage. And so we already go into the marriage with that problem. So it depends on your situation. Some people have really great in-law relationships before the marriage. And then once they actually enter, it turns the other way. So it depends. Different, so I think there's no one answer to that
maybe question.
It starts before the marriage or it starts during the marriage. It depends on everyone's like unique situation, you know. So, and it's not just like, because when I was in Africa, I always thought it was just an African thing, you know, that Africans have controlling parents who want to control the marriage. I came here, Dami, and here in the US, you know, just based on the people I've worked with, my friends, I realized that they all had in-law issues.
It's a universal thing.
It's a universal thing, Dami, it's so universal. It's not even funny. So yeah, it's not, there's no one answer kind of fits all kind of thing. So yeah, to that question.
So what does the mind shifting technique mean? Because I got confused when I got to that part.
Okay. So the mind shifting simply means just either, it's two ways. Either we are changing your mind from what you already think it's supposed to be like, or we are giving you new information to help your mind shift in that direction, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know if I can already give you some points as examples, but like, yeah, for instance, right? In my book, I talk about how we all get married and we're all like, oh, you know, once you get married, automatically your in-laws are your parents. And so, you know, they're supposed to be your parents.
Yes.
But I mean, it doesn't work that way. And I feel like that's one of the contributing factors, because it doesn't work that way.
So an hostile relationship with them, right?
How can someone that you haven't, you know, you, like, they just cannot be your parents automatically.
Yes.
But then you just, that you should also disobey them or disrespect them or whatever. You just treat them with respectfully, right? But mm-hmm. they're not your parents. And that's one of the first points in the book, that call a spade a spade.
Your in-laws
are not your parents. Don't expect them to treat them like your parents treat you. It's mm-hmm. that just causes conflict in marriages.
Because they have different values from yours.
About all that value systems, you know, expecting your in-laws to model your value systems, all of that causes chaos. So that's just how, like, shifting mindsets works. Kind of like shifting your mindset from thinking they are your parents to actually knowing they are not, and then rather shifting your mindset to think of them respectfully,
fully.
Not as parents.
Yeah.
Respectfully, correct. Yeah, Demi. So
yeah,
you got it, girl.
So chapter 2 says, and it talks about digging deep into the history of the in-laws. How do we do that without being intrusive?
You know, that's another thing. When it comes to, once you're married now, you know, because, you know, once you, especially when children start coming in, you realize that some of the kids may pick traits not of
from the in-laws.
Thank you, Demi, from your in-law. So you really want to find out who these people are. And sometimes when you dig, when you ask them some questions, ask them about their lifestyle. And this actually links to another point in the book, because I always talk about walking a mile in the shoes of your
in-law. Yes, walking a mile. Yes, I saw that.
So I talk about that in the book, you know, walk a mile in their shoes. Ask them questions. I'm not gonna go off track, but I'm just gonna use one of the examples from one of my friends. I was talking to her, and she was like, you know, she was having all these conflicts with her husband because of her mother-in-law.
And
coincidentally, I was like, you know what? Why don't you actually start talking to this man? Well, find out what she's actually been through. So she did that. So she now realized, she was like, oh, this man told me that, you know, when they were younger, when she had all these 5 boys, and she had to juggle between different towns to cater for the boys. So the woman had been through a lot. The woman told her a lot of her story. And my friend now began to empathize with the woman instead of hating on her and, you know, just being judgmental and all that. But once she really understood, you know, so that's what that point just means to say, is that walk a mile in their shoes. Find out how, you know, how did they even get pregnant with your husband? Do you know, like, what happened? What surrounded that? Because every child's birth situation is different. I have 3 boys, and every one of them, I have a different story for all 3 of them, right?
Everybody's unique.
Ask them questions. How, like, get into their shoes, walk a mile in their shoes. And I promise you, Demi, like, I know you're not married, but if the listeners will just practice this, I promise them they're gonna see a change in how they perceive their in-laws, because you can understand them so much more better, you know?
But I think you're correct. What are the tips for a healthy in-law relationship?
Oh my goodness, girl, that's like telling me to summarize the whole book.
Just give us a few tips. You know, you're a guru.
Thank you, Dami. I think I'm just gonna give a few points.
Yeah.
I think one of the most important things in the book that I also really want to talk about, which also help with having good in-law relations. It's just what to do after you've done all you can. Because some people are like, you know what, Hannah Rich, I've been the best in-law I can to this woman. Like, this woman is driving me nuts. I've done everything. I'm respectful, fine. I treat her well. I buy her presents. I remember her birthday. I do everything, but it's still not working. So, like, what do I do now? I'm ready to give up already. You know, and it breaks my heart for some of my friends, because I see some people who actually end up losing their marriages because of their in-laws, and that's just heartbreaking to me.
Yeah, it's like heartbreaking.
No in-law should ever be able to control a marriage to the extent that it actually.
Well, the funniest thing is that they have the power to do that. I don't know they how.
They do. Because it happened to my grandmother. You know, because I always say the thing with my grandmother is, that's another point in the book. I call it the in-law quadrangle. So the in-law quadrangle is where the couples are fine, they are perfect, but then their parents are the ones fighting. So it's like my mother and my father are fighting with my husband's mother and my husband's father, and because of that, there's like chaos in the whole relationship. So that's just that they have that power, right? But there's also some, you also have power because it's your marriage. You are living with your spouse, right? Yeah. It's not them. No matter how much power they have, it's still your marriage. They can never replace you as a wife. And that's another thing I talk about in my book, is that know your place and be confident in who you are as a husband or a wife. Your mother-in-law, your father-in-law can never, ever replace you. Your sibling-in-law, the brother-in-law, sister-in-law, they can never replace you, you know, as a wife. So once you also know your place, no matter what they do, it really doesn't get you, because you know what? I am the wife, I am the husband, you can do all you do, but after that, guess what? You're going back to your own corner, and I'm living in my marriage with my spouse, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm not going off track. Back to what do you do when you've done everything and then it's still not working?
Yeah, and I have that as my next question. Now, when you do everything and it fails and it can't be achieved, what should we do? That was like my next question, and you're already answering it. Yeah. That's lovely.
Yeah. That is so funny. But yeah, that's I call it I use the four P's to answer that question. That question I have an answer for, right? The previous question was very broad, and so I couldn't have pointed, like, summarize the whole book, no. But then this question, I kind of have four main pointers that I kind of realized. I'm like, you have to continue doing these four things, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the first point, I call it the four P's, so the listeners can all just put it in their minds. I call it the four P's. The first P is prayer, dummy.
Yeah.
There's a lot of problems in our lives that we pray about, right? But for some weird reason, the in-law problem is not something we feel like we should. I mean, it's not even part of our prayer list. We don't even think about it as a prayer point. We are praying about our career. We are praying about our finances. We are praying about our health.
And we forget to pray about our in-law relationships.
Thank you, Jamie.
Yeah.
Pray about, you know, especially in Africa, where sometimes we're like, you know, the in-laws, they are witches, and they're like, hey, guess what? If they are witches and you believe you're a Christian, you believe you have that ultimate power over witches, guess what, girlfriend? Why don't you pray about it? Why don't you fast about it? Why don't you get some coals on your head? Pray about it. Let that be a prayer point for you. Fast about it. I promise you, you're going to see a change. Right, so that's the first P, and I elaborate more on that point in my book. So that's the first P, praying about it. And the second P is also pursuing simply means some people are like, you know what, I've done all, Hannah, I am done. I'm done with this. I'm not even going to bother anymore. No, you have to keep pursuing. You have to keep on doing your part as a good in-law, as a good daughter-in-law. Right,
do your part and leave the rest for God.
Right. Yes. So if on their birthdays, because some people don't even call their in-laws on their birthdays, call them, you know, on Christmas days, on Mother's Day, on Father's Day, on whatever. Do your part. Be kind to them. Be respectful to them. Be kind to them. Because after all, they're the ones that birthed your spouse. Your spouse wouldn't be here if your parent had not birthed them. So you owe them that ultimate respect. be respectful to them. And one thing about like being here in America, one thing I noticed about my American friends was when they were having in-law issues, they'd be like, you know what, I'm just gonna cut her off. And I'm like, ooh, you're gonna cut her off?
Why?
Okay, cut her off.
It's not possible. That person is a part of your partner's life. So I don't think it's possible.
Yeah, like here in the United States, it's very easy because I mean they're also in a lot of mother-in-law groups, but yeah. People just cut off your mother-in-laws. I'm not even joking. Wow. So this in-law problem, it plays out in different cultures differently. It plays out differently in Africa. It plays out differently in Asia, in America, in the UK. It plays out differently, but it's still a problem that is everywhere, right?
Yeah.
That's just what the second P is about, is just to keep pursuing. That's the second P. So the first P is prayer. The second P is pursuing. The third P is patience. Patience.
Which is key.
Yes. You just want the thing to change now. You know what? I'm doing all this. So why is she not liking me? Why is she still doing this? Be patient. Be patient. Be patient. It's going to work out. Just be patient. And there's nothing wrong with having hope in a dead situation. Have hope. Not having hope or having hope doesn't change it. Let's say both of them don't change it, right? But one of them will leave you more depressed and the other one will leave you more encouraged. So why would you want to go the routes where you'd be depressed and be like, this is not changing, I'm so done with this, and then you're just getting depressed. But rather have hope, be hopeful in it, be patient, and keep doing what you're doing, right? And then the last point is being positive. Being positive is so key because negativity is just a no-no.
Yes, it's just a no-no.
Not just in in-law relationships, in every area of your
every
life.
Every area, yes. I'm going to apply this to all my or every area of my life. I'm going to apply the four P's to all every area of my life.
Four P's to actually help you to keep persistent. Because after you've done all and it's still not working, these are the only four P's that you've got to really rely on.
It works for every area of one's life.
So
the next question, how can one cope with the death of an in-law and also managing your partner's emotions while he or she is grieving?
That hits so close to home, dummy. I mean, it hits so close I'm not even joking, because I was writing this book, my mother-in-law passed away.
Oh, I'm so sorry about that.
It was hard, honestly. It was very hard, and it's something that nobody really prepares you for. You know, when you go for marriage counseling, they don't tell you, okay, this is what you do when your parents die or when your in-laws die. There's just like there's nothing. Anything, and you're just like thrown into the middle of the battlefield. So that's how I felt. I felt like, oh my goodness, I've just been thrown into the middle of this thing that I have no idea what to do with, you know, because now you're dealing with someone who has lost their mom and you don't know what to do. So I went online, I tried looking, I'm like, okay.
My thing is, nobody prepares you.
Nobody prepares you, Damien. These are all part of things that drove me to actually put this down on paper and help other people, because I don't want other people to go through the challenges that I have gone through. I want life to be better for others, especially people who are not even yet married. I wish I had this book before I got married, then it will just help me and prepare my mind and just help me throughout, you know, whilst my mother-in-law was alive and even in death, right? So I'm gonna go straight to the death. So when my husband lost his mom, right? And you know, with men, it's just an egoistic kind of thing. They don't want to grieve. And that's just who they are. Women may grieve, but for men, they just macho it up.
Yes.
But obviously, because I had lived with him for a while and I could easily see the change. I could see that he was not the same person, right? And so one main point that I really want to put out there for people is that when a spouse loses their parents, you have to honestly take up the role of being both a mother and a father to your children and even to your spouse, because they are going through things that will even anger you.
They will
get on your nerves so much, Dami. I'm not even joking. They're going to get on your nerves because you're going to be like, you're going to be so fed up with them because you haven't lost a parent, right?
Yeah, I don't know how they feel.
I've also lost my own mom, but it's not the same. You will never understand unless you have also lost your mom. That's a different situation altogether.
Yeah.
But if your own parent is alive, right, and your spouse's parent is dead, my sister, it's not the same thing. So you have to be very forgiven with your spouse because they're going to get on your last nerves, Debbie, because you do not understand the you don't understand the pain they are going through, Debbie. And another point that I tell people is, especially when your own parent is alive, is you have to learn how to manage balancing your own parents, the relationship with your own parents,
yeah, in
the presence of your spouse, because they've lost their
parents. They don't get hurt.
They don't need you to always
rub it in their faces,
you know.
Mm.
Do that. And then another challenge that I had that I overcame, thanks to God, was I wasn't sure, you know, like, because they'll have good days and they'll have bad days.
Definitely.
So because for me, I'm a very happy-go kind of person. I'm always like, happy.
No sad moments.
When that grieving period is going on, you actually have to be very, very empathetic with your spouse.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
Look at your spouse. Yeah, if they're in a good mood, be in a good mood. If they're in a bad mood, hey, allow them to be in a bad mood. Like, they deserve that price, dummy. I haven't lost my mom. I have no idea what that feels like. But I've lost my grandma. I've lost other people close to me. And that was even heart-wrenching, right? Mm-hmm. So imagine someone losing their mom. And a lot of times, because we don't put ourselves in the shoes of our spouses, we don't manage that whole grieving season well, right? And that's just my encouragement in that book. And I have another 10 pointers that will really help you take you through the grieving process in my book.
You would wait for it to be on Amazon.
It's gonna be on Amazon, yes.
Yeah, we're gonna wait.
Yes, it's gonna be on all major bookstores all over the world, really. So
everybody should grab that copy.
Exactly.
So lastly, Anna Rich, what are the tips for a happier marriage?
I'm sorry?
What are the tips for a happier marriage? You don't have to say everything, but just give us some few advice.
Yeah, just a few
tips. You're a boy mom with three boys. How are you coping?
I'm gonna do two main tips, right?
Okay.
I'll just say that after the marriage, because when we are dating, it's very different from the marriage.
Sure.
So one thing I really spoke about in those five bonus tips in my book, I'm gonna give two of it right now. So those five bonus tips, one of the tips was that you have to keep on dating your spouse even in the marriage.
Wow. Because
after marriage, ends, right? And it's not anyone's fault, because life is happening.
Life will hit you hard.
Things are happening. We have to build houses, we have to invest in properties, we have to pay school fees.
So
many things are happening. You almost forget to actually date your spouse. It's like the dating phase ends. And that's one thing I encourage in my book, is that no, you have to keep dating your spouse. It shouldn't end in the marriage. No, it should not. Keep dating her. Find time, no matter how hard. Because in this world, especially we are living now, there's no time. Nobody has time.
There's not enough time. Just have to make out time.
If you don't crave that time out for you and your spouse, you're not gonna get it. Trust me. It's not gonna happen automatically. It's not gonna fall on your laps. Because when you were dating, you didn't have all these responsibilities. It was just you and her, and you were just dating and having fun. But now that you have kids, you have all these responsibilities.
Yes.
You have to be intentional about
it. And they keep piling up.
Time.
Yes.
Thank you. Please keep piling up. Life is getting busier and busier and busier. Yeah. That's one of the main points in my book with regards to that. I didn't know you were going to ask me. That's off the tops of my head. The other 4 points are in the book.
Yeah, we'll wait for the book. We'll wait for the book. Make sure you let me know when the book is out so I could do an advert for you.
I will, absolutely, Dami. If you wouldn't mind having me back, you know, when the book is ready, and we'll talk about the post effects of the book on people, sure, you know, all over the world.
I'll invite you back on the show to talk about it.
Thank you, Dami. And before I go, if you don't mind,
yeah,
I really wanted to invite my fellow Nigerians and all other people all over the world who'll be listening to this podcast. That I'm going to invite people to be part of my launch team. So I need people from all over the world, regardless of how old you are. Of course, you have to be older than 18 years, but regardless of whether you're single or married, whatever, so long as you're passionate about becoming part of a change that will have a lasting generational impact. Because, Dami, if you're a doctor, a lawyer, a nurse, whatever you are, when you die with it. You don't leave any generation, lasting generation impact. But when you become part of my book launch and you actually help us to launch this book and actually impact it into the lives of the circles of people around us, then you actually a generational impact, you know, for your children, for your children's children. So I just want to invite, you know, people in Lagos, in Nigeria, wherever, all over the world. If you want to be part of my book launch team, you just go onto my website. There's a portion for joining the launch team, and you just follow this, like, there's roles for the launch team members, there's the benefits, all of that on my website. And so if you don't mind, I'll just give out my website for people to go.
Okay, go ahead. If
you're passionate about this. So my website is it's www.myhannahrich. So it's my with my name, Hannah and Rich together. So HANNARICH. .com. So it's www.myhannahrich.com, and that's where, you know, you have all the details.
I'm also going to put that on my page, so people that need it would always go to it.
Awesome. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Hannahrich, for your time. Thank you for accepting my invitation. I'm really grateful. I'm calling you back on my show.
Yes,
you should really consider being a marriage counselor.
I love all things marriage, really. I love all things marriage. So beautiful. Yeah,
awesome. You should consider that. Okay, so we've reached the end of the show. Thank you all for listening. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast so that you don't miss any episode that comes out after this. And don't forget to share the podcast with your friends and all your social media pages. Thank you so much. It's your girl, Just Jamie.